Let's go out to dinner and see a movie. Let's go out to dinner and see a movie.
All right. Good morning, everyone. If dinner and a movie are in your plans, you're on your own as far as the restaurant is concerned. We can help you out with the movies. Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday, is here in the studio. And also, we welcome back from our partner, the New York Times, A.O. Scott, the co-host of the award-winning TV show At the Movies. Congratulations for that.
Thank you.
And also film critic for the New York Times. So this weekend, we've got Zombieland is one of the blockbusters. Rafer, give us a sense of that movie. Can you give me like a four-worder on this one?
Yeah, sure. It's a coming-of-age movie set against the zombie apocalypse.
All right, let's hear a clip.
Planet Earth, home to over 6 billion people. Today, our very existence is threatened by epidemics, climate change, and dwindling resources. But those are the least of our problems. Welcome to Zombieland.
Sounds like our staff in the afternoon, yes. This feels like Inglourious Basterds meets Night of the Living Dead. What did you think?
It's almost a little bit more like, I would say more like John Hughes meets Night of the Living Dead.
Wow.
I actually, Jesse Eisenberg plays his usual, you know, sort of Asperger-ish teen misfit role, but he's very
Woody
good
Harrelson
at it.
Is in this, right?
Big comeback for Woody, maybe?
What's that?
Big comeback for Woody Harrelson?
Big comeback. I mean, you know, he's great in it, actually. He's a lot of fun. You know, he mugs a lot, and which he's very good at. And, you know, it's him and Jesse Eisenberg, Emma Stone, Abigail Breslin. They form kind of a makeshift family and traverse the landscape.
It's a blockbuster combo, zombies and teenagers. Let's talk about Drew Barrymore releasing her directorial debut in Whippet. What did you make of this?
I actually really liked Whippet a lot. I thought it was really fun. It's got a nice girl power message to it.
Beauty Queen becomes roller derby champion.
That's right, Ellen Page. Sort of again redoing her Juno role a little bit, but she's very good. All the characters are good. Kristen Wiig from Saturday Night Live is in it. Drew Barrymore is also in it, and they make a really sweet team. The Hurl Scouts, by the way, is their roller derby name.
Is there a pregnancy subtext? Speaking of Juno,
there is not one.
So it's not completely the
it's not,
Juno
it's not
role.
Total Juno.
All right, great. So we had Michael Moore on the program to talk about Capitalism, a Love Story. He was actually with us on Monday. That's his movie that goes wide this week. A.O. Scott, first of all, let's listen to a clip and get a comment.
Some guy, a steel worker, rises up out of his seat and just starts shouting at the screen, "Shame! Shame!" I mean, it's like, whoa. Well, good. Turn off the TV, you know, stop watching Dancing with the Stars, and get off the bench. Otherwise, we're going to lose what we have.
So that's the evangelist, Michael Moore, telling us that people in the seats were going crazy at the openings that he went to. Do you think they will?
Well, we'll see. I mean, I think it had a very strong response. It sold a lot of tickets in limited release. I think, in a way, this is the movie Michael Moore has been waiting 20 years to make, since Roger and Me. I mean,
it's always been
the reality
capitalism.
Has sort of caught up with his point of view. And I think that there's more general receptiveness to his argument now than maybe there has been, in the last 20 years.
Quickly, does that help the movie or hurt it?
I think it helps it. I think it helps it because I think that a lot of people who don't necessarily see themselves as his natural allies are, you know, more open to what he has to say this time.
Okay, funniest man alive, of course, Ricky Gervais, correct?
Yeah.
I think so. The Invention of Lying is his movie. He's starring in it with Jennifer Garner. What do you make of this?
Well, it's a real mixed bag. There's some really, really funny stuff in it. At its high points, it's kind of high satirical points, it's hilarious. But then there's a kind of a romantic comedy thing that happens with Jennifer. He's not a great romantic lead, let's
What's
just put it
that way. What's
the
premise here?
The premise is that the world exists and no one has ever done anything but tell the truth.
Ah.
And Ricky Gervais, who plays a screenwriter, movies are actually filmed lectures on historical facts because no one can make anything up. He's a screenwriter. He one day just comes up with the idea that you could say something that isn't true. And as they say in the movie, then everything changes.
Lying.
He invents
okay.
lying.
Interesting.
Morning, Shelley.
Hi, Mark. I realize more and more every day how overqualified I am for this position and how incompetent you are at yours.
Any messages?
Anthony is coming up within the hour to see if he can get up the courage to fire you. If he can't, he said that he'll definitely do it tomorrow.
Anything else? Any messages not to do with being fired?
Well, I told everyone you're getting fired this week, and they shouldn't expect their calls returned, so no one left any messages.
Okay.
That's Tina Fey, right?
Tina Fey as his assistant. And there's a lot of greats. Jeffrey Tambor is in it, Louis C.K. There's a small cameo by Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Now,
a lot
you
of
can,
funny stuff.
You can fall in love with the premise, but does it sustain?
Unfortunately, I think it doesn't. It reaches a peak, a high point where he invents religion, which everyone suddenly comes to believe in because nobody is capable of doubting anything. So
how it got started.
Yeah. He invents a man in the sky who makes all the rules and tells everybody how to live and becomes a big celebrity. Unfortunately, it's kind of undone by the need, which is not in Ricky Gervais's comfort zone, I think, to make it an affirming, sentimental love story about a schlubby guy who ends up with a beautiful woman.
So, Rafer and Tony, are you excited about this? Listen.
Cy and I think it's best if you move out of the house.
Move out?
Well, it makes eminent sense.
Things can't continue, as
move out? Where would I go?
Oh, for instance, the Jolly Roger is quite livable. It's not expensive. The rooms are eminently habitable.
This would allow you to visit the kids.
There's convenience in its favor. You've got a pool.
Wouldn't it make more sense for you to move in with Cy?
Harry.
Larry, you are jesting.
It may sound like Curb Your Enthusiasm, but no, it's the Coen brothers' new movie, Rafer.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, it's again, it's one of these, you know, it's another comedy of cruelty from the Coen brothers. You know, I mean, they're
they
basically
do that so well.
They do that very well.
Man,
they do that
as
very
it's called,
well.
Yes.
Yes, that's right. You know, they're taking a Jewish professor. It's set in 1967, and you know, essentially putting him through the ringer the way they do. You know, his wife is stepping out on him. His children barely acknowledge his existence. He's getting caught in a bribery scandal at the school.
This movie has to have the best trailer.
I think it's really it's basically the Book of Job in the Minnesota suburbs in 1967.
Fabulous.
It's a comedy of cruelty, but I would say a comedy of divine or metaphysical cruelty.
All right, let's
just in time for the High Holy Days.
Let's do the trivia question before we go. Here we go. Can you get it right? What director do these actors all have in common? Shelley Winters, Jack Nicholson, Adrian Brody, and Mia Farrow. Call it out. Rafer?
I'm gonna say Roman Polanski.
Tony?
Yeah, I think so too. And I wonder if the Los Angeles District Attorney has called in with his answer.
Yeah.
It is Roman Polanski. A very simple trivia question, and some of our listeners actually got it right. Thanks so much to Rafer Guzman and to A.O. Scott. Rafer Guzman, the news critic for Newsday. A.O. Scott, critic for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much.